Good evening, everybody. I guess in a certain way, this is a bittersweet moment for our family. It's the 11th yahrzeit of our mother is now today on the 28th day of Tammuz. And a week today, the yahrzeit of our father, Zal, 10 years and 1 week apart. But of course, we know that it is Torah that links us from this world to the next world. It's our eternal link to Sinai, Olam Vaed. So our parents had both asked, in a sense, and I think, you know, that every year to memorialize them, we bring in people and we learn Torah, and there's no better way, I think, to continue the legacy of my parents and on this occasion. And it's a pleasure, it's really an honor for our family to have the Rosenzweigs, you know, three excellent, each in their own right, you know, speakers and Torah scholars. This morning, Smadar spoke at a women's Beit Midrash program at the Beit, and she'll be doing it again in the morning. Tomorrow morning, all women are invited from 9:30 to 11:45 at the Beit on Clark Avenue. And tonight we're going to hear from first Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, and then his father, Rabbi Beryl, and then they'll be here. All three of them are going to speak over Shabbos at Or Chaim. So I'll briefly introduce Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig. I apologize for my voice. I picked up a small cold. What can I do? Rabbi Rosenzweig was born in Toronto, of course, when his father was serving as the rabbi of Shartz Villa. Went to Eitz Chaim here through the end of grade six when the family moved on to New York. And he attended Yeshiva University, where he got his smicha from, a PhD in medieval Jewish history under Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik. He learned in Israel, in the Gris Kollel, in Gush, and has been a Rosh Yeshiva at YU since 1985. And my nephew, who's sitting right here, is a student in Hashir. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and it's really an honor to have him here. He'll be giving a shiur on honoring parents in life and death. Without further ado, Rabbi Rosenzweig.
I'm just going to transfer my sfarim over to here. It's a little closer. Shouldn't be too concerned. It looks more formidable than it really is. Firstly, just the poskim bechvod achsanya. Firstly, to thank you for a very kind introduction. It's really an honor to be participating in the observance of this first yahrzeit for Reb Chaim Yosef Kelman, and of course the yahrzeit for the mother of the Kelmans as well. The fact that both yahrzeits come out in such close proximity gives us really the opportunity to be mechabed both parents. We know that we'll discuss this a little bit more very soon, but the Torah speaks about kibud av v'em in two places, one in the Aseres HaDibros, and the other, of course, in Parshas Kedoshim. And the Gemara in Kedushin and the Midrash Halacha notes that in the context of the Aseres HaDibros, kabed es avicha v'yasimecha, the father comes first, and in the context of Parshas Kedoshim, the mother comes first, ish. We talk about imo va'aviv tira'u. And the Gemara explains that the relationship between a father and a mother is different. It's equal, but it's different. But when the yahrzeits come out so closely, and one is able to honor both parents, each of with their different contributions and dimensions, I think it adds in a transcendent way to an appreciation and the dignity and the kavod that is given to them. The Kelman family is, of course, very well known for its significant contributions to Jewish life and to Jewish community, particularly here in Toronto, but not only here in Toronto. And that continues, as we know, into the next generation. And it was mentioned that Josh is a Talmud, so I can say even beyond. And it's a personal privilege for me to be here, as some, I said, have been Talmidim, Rabbi Mori Kelman, who I think is on the way, and Rabbi Daniel Goldstein, also a very close Talmud, and of course, presently Josh. So I feel personally connected as well. And beyond that, of course, as the father of my son, I'm sorry, as the son of my father, I'm also the father of my son, but I would be my father's grandson. As the son of my father, I grew up hearing stories about Toronto and the formative years of Jewish life in Toronto, and I was always peppered with incidents about the Kelman family, and I know that we'll be hearing more about that this evening. It's also, of course, a special schus for me to participate together with my father, Avi Mori, in a program of this kind, and particularly when the topic happens to be the principle of Kibud Av Ve'Em. So it's just a small expression of my own Kibud Av Ve'Em, some of the issues that I bring to the fore, try to develop this evening. Now we'll go on to the actual shiur. The topic of the evening is Kibud Av Ve'Em, the mitzvah to honor, and by extension, the second mitzvah of Yira, to fear, or really to give reverence to a father and to mother, the obligation to revere and to respect parents. The first thing I want to note, and I want to zero in on, is the very unique and central position that this mitzvah occupies in our Weltanschauung, in our worldview. The fact is that the role of Kibud Av Ve'Em, in very many respects, defies comparison with other mitzvos, other single mitzvos that one would have thought would be comparable to it. Even in some respect, including the obligation of Kvod Rabbo or Kvod Talmud Chacham, which, as we'll discuss, is very much connected to the principle of Kvod Av Ve'Emo. How do I know that? Why do I say that? Well, let me just highlight it in several different ways. Number one, the first time that we encounter Kibud Av Ve'Em, as already was mentioned, is in the Aseres HaDibros, in Parshas Yisro, and again repeated in Devarim, in Devarim Chanon, when we have the second rendition. The fact that any particular mitzvah appears in the context of Aseres HaDibros obviously reflects its unique stature, its singular status as something which is not merely a mitzvah, an important mitzvah, but something which is of transcendent significance. There's a debate whether or not treating the reading of the Aseres HaDibros differently than the reading of any other part of the Torah is appropriate or not. A famous discussion of the Gemara in Brachos and the first parak, Gemara records the custom that they used to say the Aseres HaDibros, they used to recite it as part of the tefillah every single day, and they decided after a while to terminate that custom, mipnei taromas aminim, lest people think that the Aseres HaDibros was more important than other parts of the Torah. And that's a whole topic or discussion in its own right. But notwithstanding the idea that all parts of the Torah are of equal axiological value as Chetzes Shel Torah, as Devar Hashem, the Word of God, the status of Torah, wherever we find it, is of enormous significance, there certainly still is importance to the fact that a particular mitzvah appears in the context of the Aseres HaDibros, the first communication to Klal Yisrael of this type, and of course the foundation of other mitzvahs. The Ramban, earlier of Sajigon, suggests that the Aseres HaDibros constitute a blueprint and a summary of all of the mitzvahs. And others suggest that it represents cardinal or basic linchpin kind of principles. After all, what is on that list of Aseres HaDibros? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right, the obligation to believe in God, nothing less, the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, idolatry, the respect which one needs to accord to Shem Hashem, the whole foundation of the principle of Eidos, of the respect for the legal process, is implied in that list, and of course, Lo Sirtzach, Lo Signov, the basic ethical principles of the Jewish faith are enumerated, culminating with Lo Sachmod, the obligation to have a certain kind of spiritual perspective, right, which respects other people's boundaries, not to covet their property, etc. The most surprising inclusion on this list is Kibud Av Ve'Em. It's sandwiched between the mitzvah of Shabbos and the continuation of Lo Tirtzach, the prohibition to murder. Why is Kibud Av V'Em, respect for father and mother, as important as that is? What warrants it being included in the Aseres HaDibros itself? The second time that Kibud Av V'Em surfaces in the Torah is in Parshas Kedoshim. And the significance of the context is no less weighty, no less important. Vayidabar Hashem el Moshe le'emor, the very first words of Parshas Kedoshim, Daber al kol hadas b'nei Yisrael v'marta lehem kedoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem. The obligation to be holy, whatever that means, to imitate God to the extent that kivyachol, that we can, right, to make ourselves holy. And what's the first expression of that that follows immediately from this general obligation, aspiration? Ish imo v'aviv tiro, v'ashab sosai tishmoru, ani Hashem elokeichem. The first expression after this aspiration of kedoshim tiyu is once again the obligation to revere father and mother, to revere one's parents. And then it's followed, only then, al tifnu el ha'alilim, elokei ma'aseicha lo tasu lachem. First you have kibud av v'eim, then you have Shabbos, which has great theological significance as well. It reflects the creation. Then you have the most, you know, important theological principle, right? The unity of God, the rejection of idolatry, of avodah zarah, etc. And then the Torah goes on to enumerate other such things. Rashi, quoting from the Medrash, in the beginning of Kedoshim says, why all of Adas B'nei Yisrael, why were all of the people gathered to hear the words of Kedoshim? Parsha zu behakel mipnei sherov gufei Torah tluyin ba. Because this is the parsha in which rov gufei Torah, the central tenets of the Torah, are going to be developed. So what is the first one after the general charge of Kedoshim Tiyu? Once again, Ish imo v'aviv tiro, es shamsosai tishmoru. And once again, as important as respecting and revering parents is, why does it occupy so central, so critical a place in the scheme of things? Not only that, in the substantive way, this mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is treated differently than other mitzvos, and by extension, it serves as a paradigm for a certain category in the halacha. After all, in the Aseres HaDibros, the Torah says, L'man yarichun yamecha al ho'adama. If you properly observe the obligation to revere and to respect your parents, then you will be given, you will be accorded the gift of arichus yamim, of living long and hopefully productive life. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, notes that generally the Torah does not specify, does not delineate chsar and onesh. It doesn't tell you what reward and what punishment you'll get for violating or for fulfilling a particular mitzvah. The Torah leaves that usually to the Mesorah, or maybe an onshin, but certainly not a mitzvah asay. There are many mitzvah asay that we have. We don't say, observe Shabbos, and if you do, you'll get the following reward, etc. We don't find that practically ever in the Torah. The paradigm for where we find it is in Kibud Av V'Em, and the Gemara derives from this a principle, and that is, mitzvah asay shamatan scharan b'tzeda, ein bezen shamata kofin olav. Because the Torah itself explicates what is at stake when it comes to Kibud Av V'Em, so if because of that, it's not a matter for Bezdin, for the courts, to enforce. Now this is a whole principle, and there's a whole literature trying to figure out, are there any other examples of this? What about tzedakah there too? We speak about L'man Yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha in Parshas Re'eh. What about a few other cases, Hanek Tanik, when it comes to an Eved? What's particularly fascinating is the principle, the model, is certainly rooted specifically in Kibud Av V'Em. That's the paradigm. And if you analyze the other possible candidates, there's some question whether or not there really is any other case, or certainly any other case which is quite as acute as Kibud Av V'Em. So once again, Kibud Av V'Em is singular, and here in a substantive way, not just where it's placed, not where the source happens to appear, but in the laws themselves. And we have to understand that this particular halacha of Ein Bezen Shamata, the courts have no business in Kibud Av V'Em, because the Torah itself has enumerated what it is at stake, is the equivalent of telling us that Kivud Av Ve'Em is its own reward, or that there's a kind of natural or fundamental causal relationship between paying proper homage, giving proper respect and reverence to parents on the one hand, and the kind of life or Arichas Yamim that you will live, that you will have. This, of course, again, needs an explanation, why the special status for Kibud Av Ve'Em. Not only that, the Torah goes on in other places to tell us that cursing a parent, hitting a parent, which, of course, are terrible things, constitutes severe infractions well beyond cursing and hitting a neighbor, as obviously abhorrent as those things are as well. They incur the death penalty. Now, that cursing and hitting a parent is an abhorrent action, I think, is something that everybody would agree to. That the consequence should be the death penalty, that it's a capital crime, that seems to be a little harsh. But that's what the Torah tells us, and therefore we need to understand the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Em, and by extension the prohibition of Killas or Hakos Av Ve'Em. Apparently, once again, the Torah is telling us that at stake in the way that one relates to parents is something that is beyond or transcends the personal. There's a certain principle, a certain foundational stature to this mitzvah, such that its absolute emphatic disregard, as expressed by physical violence or klala, cursing, with all that that implies, is unacceptable to the point of incurring a capital offense. Let me take it a step further. This mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Em, this is already included in the title of my remarks this evening, is unusual in another substantive way. Most mitzvahs end when life ends. When it comes to the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Em, it's b'chayav u'b'moso. It's while parents are alive and even after they're no longer living in this world. The prohibition of klala, for example, not hakah, because then the body obviously no longer relates to the being himself. The prohibition of klala continues after misa. The possibility of giving respect to a parent is something which is obligatory even la'achar misa. The Gemara tells us this in Ksuvah Saf Kuf Gimel. The Gemara says that one is obligated to revere and to respect one's parents during and after their life. This in contrast, for example, to a step-parent who one is obligated to respect during the life of one's parent, but not after that parent dies. In other words, a stepmother or a stepfather is accorded a measure of Kibud Av Ve'Em, but only while the natural parent to whom they're married is alive. Or, for example, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that the way that you quote a parent both during the first 12 months after their patira and beyond, should always reflect a posture of respect. Part of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Em, which continues even l'achar mosa. You say, Hareini kaparas mishkavo, during that initial year period. And afterwards, you always speak about a parent, you always say, Zechrono l'chaye olam haba. And this is a halacha which is codified as well in the Rambam. Again, normally, mitzvos have a certain, I wouldn't say shelf life, but they have a certain life that is defined by life. What do we mean when we speak about Kibud Av Ve'Em continuing la'achar misa? Let me take it one step further. The Rambam formulates the dinim of Kibud Av Ve'Em in a very unusual place. The Rambam, as everybody knows, was the master organizer of Jewish law. His, you know, genius in systematizing the world of Torah is second to none. And mostly, we could predict or anticipate, with a big yasher koach, but certainly once exposed to the classification, we can understand exactly why the Rambam deserves those kind of accolades. Right? When the Rambam formulates things and classifies them, in a certain framework, right, we can always see the inner logic behind it. However, here and there, there are areas of halacha where the Rambam, which the Rambam classified in seemingly unusual places, and there we have to work a little harder to understand the scheme. The Rambam did nothing haphazardly. As I say, he was the master at classification, at categorization. Where did the Rambam put Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em? In the very end of his work, in the second to last section, the end of the second last section of the entire Yad HaChazaka. In Sefer Shoftim, which mostly deals with Sanhedrin and Edus, right, the courts and testimony, and in the end deals with Hilchos Melachim, which have to do with kings and their reign, and which concludes with the discussion of Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba, eschatological issues. Before that final section of Hilchos Melachim, there is in the Rambam Hilchos Mamrim, which deals with authority. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim has seven chapters. The first four are dedicated to issues of authority in Jewish law. You have to listen to the court, especially the Supreme Court of Judaism, the Bezna HaGadol, who sat at the foot of the Beis HaMikdash, the principle of Zaken Mamre, the rebellious, so-called rebellious elder, who is a qualified Talmud Chacham, but who refuses to adhere to the methodology of Jewish law. Right? All these fascinating issues about halachic process and authority, I might add, issues that are very relevant to us today, even though the mechanisms are somewhat different, but they're often issues which are unfortunately ignored. But these issues of Hilchos Mamrim are critical to Jewish law, and they belong in Sefer Shoftim right towards the end in the context of Sanhedrin and Edus and Melachim. But the last three of seven chapters of Hilchos Mamrim are actually wholly dedicated to the problem of parents. Perek Hey, Perek Vav, Perek Zayin. Perek Hey is about hitting and cursing, which we spoke about previously. Perek Vav, which we'll be speaking more about in the next half hour, is dedicated to the laws of Kibud and Mora Av V'Em, revering and honoring parents. And Perek Zayin, the last chapter of Hilchos Mamrim, is about possibly the real or the fictional, to debate in the Gemara, principle of Ben Sorer Mora, the rebellious child. It's very fascinating that the Rambam chose to codify the dinim of Kibud Av V'Em, specifically in Hilchos Mamrim. Let me just contrast it. The Shulchan Aruch, the Torah Shulchan Aruch, put Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em in Yoredeya, and in a very logical place, right before Hilchos Talmid Hilchos Kavod and Mora of a Talmud Chacham. In fact, the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam codifies this in Hilchos Talmud Torah as well, that some of the dinim, some of the laws of respecting Talmid Chachamim, scholars, is derived from the dinim of Kibud Av V'Em. So in the Yoredeya, if you look there, you'll see you have Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em, and it's followed by, actually, early you have Hilchos Nadarim and Shavua, Shuos and Nadarim. Then you have Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em, Simin Reish Mem, and then Simin Reish Mem Aleph, and several Simonim after that deal with how we relate to our Rabbeim, our teachers, Talmidei Chachamim in the community, Zakenim, and that's a very logical structure. The Rambam, on the other hand, although he connects many of the dinim of revering and respecting scholars, right, which are based on Kibud Av V'Em, the Rambam deals with the dinim of respecting scholars in Hilchos Talmud Torah, which is in the very beginning of his work in Sefer Mada, in the very first of his 14 sections, even though it's based on the dinim of Kibud Av V'Em, which are dealt with only in the very culmination, one could say the climax of the work, right, in the 14th book, as I mentioned before, Shoftim, and in Hilchos Mamrim. Why did the Rambam think that Kibud Av V'Em is connected to the principles of Mamrim, of authority, rather than to the questions of Mada, Hilchos Deos, values, in a more general way? If you look at the mitzvos, the Rambam, whenever he codifies a certain category of Jewish law, so he always introduces it by counting the relevant mitzvos. There are 613 mitzvos, which the Rambam also counts in his Sefer HaMitzvos. And any section that the Rambam begins to develop is always introduced with an enumeration of the relevant mitzvos. Hilchos Mamrim has, I think, 9 mitzvos. I think I'm saying it right. And 5 of them relate to Kibud Av V'Em. 4 of them to the issues that one would have anticipated would be the focus of Hilchos Mamrim. Namely, listening to the Beis Din, rejecting the rebellious elder, the Zakei Mamre, and so on and so forth. In other words, it's not only that the Rambam saved Kibud Av V'Em till the end and integrated it into the section which focuses on authority. In fact, Hilchos Mamrim is dominated by, in one respect, dominated by the halachos of Kibud Av V'Em, something which is shocking. But as I say, it's only initially shocking, and it imposes upon us the challenge and the obligation to understand what is the Rambam telling us by classifying the rules of Kibud Av V'Em in such a context. So, in order to resolve this, we need to analyze the character, the nature of Kibud Av V'Em a little bit more fully. There are several themes in Kibud Av V'Em which I think are crucial, and they're not mutually exclusive either. Let me list one or two of them briefly, and then let me focus in particular on one I think that the Rambam, at least, felt was central. Firstly, Kibud Av V'Em is the most elemental expression of the concept of Hakaras HaTov. In fact, the Sefer HaChinuch, which I have here somewhere, my notes are a little bit all over the place, but the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel begins his discussion of Kibud Av V'Em with this idea. Mishrashe Mitzvah Zu Sharaui L'Adam Shiyakir B'Yigmol Chesed L'Mi Sha'asa Imotova. It's the most basic human obligation to express Hakaras HaTov, gratitude and recognition, thanks, right, when someone has reciprocated, when someone has done you, has benefited you. V'lo yeh naval u'mitnaker u'kfarei tova, shezu mida ra u'me'usa b'tachlis l'fnei Elokim v'anashim. The Chinuch says, somebody who is unappreciative, somebody who ignores when others benefit him, is someone who is in the category of an achzari person, almost viciousness, not just lack of gratitude. The halakha perceives this in a more vehement negative way. And then he adds, she'itein alibo ka'av va'em heim siba sayoso ba'olam. After all, one owes one's existence to one's parents. V'alkein be'emet ra'ui lo la'asos lehem kol kovod v'kol to'ela she'yuchal. And therefore, whatever you can do to reciprocate, to express, to pay back somewhat, is the minimum that you can do. Kihem heviu leolam, gam yagubo kamigios bekatnuso. Not only that, they brought him into the world. At least when he was a child, they also brought him along, in some cases, even maybe beyond when he was a child. Ukashi kava zosamida benafsho, yala mimenu lahakir tova sakel baruchu as well. We'll get back to that as well. This idea of Hakaras HaTov transcends simply parents. It has implications for the way that you relate to the Ribono Shel Olam as well. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. If Kibud Av V'Em was nothing more than the most elemental and primary instantiation of the principle of Hakaras HaTov, it would already resolve many of the questions that we asked. How prominent it is, its centrality. After all, this is a, as I say, linchpin kind of human response. Anybody who doesn't have, has not developed, has not cultivated the mida, the characteristic of Hakaras HaTov, is so fundamentally flawed and deficient that the rest of the Torah, basically, cannot address him, cannot influence him in a significant manner either way. After all, we speak about Hakaras HaTov not only in living beings, but even an inanimate object in the world of Chazal. There's a whole literature about this as well. But it goes, I think, beyond Hakaras HaTov. The area of Hakaras HaTov is significant, and this leads us to a second principle. Rav Chazai Kreskes, in his Or Hashem, which is mostly a philosophical work, but en passant, as he's talking about philosophical issues and other issues, he speaks about many of the mitzvos and has some illuminating insights about them, suggests that Kibud Av V'Em is central, is pivotal, because it underscores a major theme in Judaism, the theme of Mesorah. The idea that without a tradition, a received tradition, and links that go back all the way to Sinai, there cannot be a thriving, flourishing Jewish life. After all, the Torah itself is fundamentally unreadable, indecipherable, without a Mesorah. Even the most basic areas, like Jewish civil law, if anybody opens up Parshas Mishpatim, where you have the rules of damages, etc., you'll notice very quickly that the psukim are basically indecipherable. You just can't read them or make sense of them if you just want to read them in an unvarnished, textual, simple way. We need a Mesorah. And we need a Mesorah not only where it's obvious that we need one, but we need a Mesorah, we need a tradition, we need a history which enriches our understanding and our approach to the complexities of life that face us. We need that in all aspects of Jewish life. That's a topic in its own right. I'm not going to pursue that further today. But according to the position of Rav Chazdai Kreskes in Or Hashem, Kibud Av V'Em is pivotal because that Mesorah, that tradition, which links everybody back to that original moment of Gilui HaShechina, of revelation at Har Sinai, the single most important moment in human history, that actually could not take place without the principle of Kibud Av V'Em, without that connection between parents and children. Indeed, the whole relationship of Talmidei Chachamim to their students, which of course is the other simultaneous, coexistent aspect of the link, is based on the principle that Rebbe Talmud is based on the paradigm of father-son. Vishinantam livanecha elu talmidecha. The whole idea of a father being a teacher and a teacher being a father, these are two different aspects, but of course two related aspects of the very concept of Mesorah. Without Mesorah, there would be no Judaism, and therefore Kibud Av V'Em is a pivotal part of the Aseres HaDibros. It is also, perhaps for that reason, firmly ensconced in Hilchos Mamrim, because the idea of Hilchos Mamrim is about the authority of Jewish law and the proper procedure when there's a deadlock, when there's controversy. It's all about the principle of Mesorah and of authority. Let me take it one step further. The father-child, I don't mean to say father, I mean parent-child relationship, it's both father and mother. We discussed very, very briefly touched on the question of kavod and yira, but it's Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh torah simecha. I'm talking really parent-child in a more generic sense at the moment. This principle, this relationship, is not only the foundation for Hakaras HaTov as well as for the idea of Mesorah, it is also the paradigm, certainly the initial paradigm, for the very concept of authority. After all, that's exactly what the initial connection between child and parent is. It's about setting boundaries. It's about instilling values. It's about being an authority figure. And I think the Rambam highlighted this by codifying Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em precisely in Hilchos Mamrim. The foundational principle of authority is not that of the Bezen HaGadol. It's of the family. It's of the home. There wouldn't be a Bezen HaGadol authority with all of the dinim that flow, and there wouldn't be a concept of Zaken Mamre, of the rebellious elder, if there wasn't first, both in time and axiologically, if there wasn't first a principle of Kibud Av V'Em and its counterpart, the principle of the Ben Sorer Umore. So that the whole concept of authority is first experienced and in some respect is modeled after the principle of Kibud Av V'Em. And if that's true, then once again, Hilchos Mamrim is the ideal setting, and the Aseres HaDibros is the proper venue as well. Not only that, but we can now appreciate why this is Mitzvah Aseh Shematan Tzcharan B'Tzeda. The Torah tells you what's at stake. Arichos Yamim, which refers not only to longevity, but unquestionably to the quality of life as well, and we're talking about the quality of spiritual life, is intimately and inextricably interconnected with the principle of authority. If there is no authority, there's no discipline, then of course there can be no meaningful, no value to life itself. So that the Gemara in Chulin tells us that Kibud Av V'Em is Mitzvah Aseh Shematan Tzcharan B'Tzeda, it's its own reward and its own punishment. And it's questionable whether there is any other example that actually equates to that. But I'd like to take this in two other directions, if we have time. Start with one, see if we have time for the other. Beyond everything I've just said, but I don't think in any way contradicting it, let's say building off of it, the principle of Hakaras HaTov, the idea of Masorah, the idea that this is the simplest building block and paradigm when it comes to the idea of samchut or authority. Beyond all of that, there's another element, certainly the Rambam's view of Kibud Av V'Em, which is even more ambitious and even more challenging. In some respects, the evidence seems to point to the fact that one's obligation to respect parents constitutes a kiyum, a fulfillment of, maybe it is even primarily based on the obligation of kibud and mora to the Rabbono Shel Olam himself. The way that one relates to one's parents is an extension of one's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the primary Gemaras that deal with Kibud Av V'Em, should mention, are the Gemaras in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Amud Beis till Daf Lamed Beis. In one of those Gemaras, one of the famous Gemaras, the Gemara speaks about there being a relationship between Kibud Av V'Em, Mora Av V'Em on the one hand, and Kibud or Kvod Shamayim and Mora Shamayim on the other. The Gemara speaks about the principle of Gimel Shutfim La'adam. After all, there are three partners in the creation of every human being. They are, of course, father, the mother, and before them, and more important than them, the Rabbono Shel Olam, God himself. This idea that there are three partners, and that somehow the way that you relate to two of them reflects and contributes to the kind of relationship that you will develop with the third, who's really the first, meaning God, is something which the Rambam takes very seriously. After all, generally speaking, again, it's the pattern of the Rambam. The Rambam was a philosopher. More important than being a philosopher, he was a halachist. He was very much focused on the legal aspects of the halacha. Rarely in the Yad HaChazakah does the Rambam quote Divrei Agada, the words of Chazal and Medrash. He doesn't quote them if they're just nice midrashim. He might quote them elsewhere. He won't quote them generally in Yad HaChazakah. When he does, it's to highlight and to accentuate a particular theme. When it comes to Kibud Av V'Em, the Rambam emphasizes, even more than the Gemara itself does, the equation between the fear and the respect of parents and that of the Rabbono Shel Olam. In Perek Vav Hilchos Ma'amrim Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Kibud Av V'Em mitzvah saseh gedola. It's a big mitzvah, meaning it's a pivotal mitzvah. V'chein mora av V'Em. Shakalos anakosuv v'chvodo u'b'mora'o. After all, Chazal say that the Torah wanted to equate respecting parents and respecting the Rabbono Shel Olam. Kosuv kabeda savicha v'yasimecha. Kosuv kabeda shem mehonecha. V'ovev imo ksiv ishimo v'ovev tiro. Now that statement has its roots in the Gemara in Kiddushin. I don't have time to trace this for you fully in a convincing way. But the Rambam not only quotes it, which is unusual that he would quote this kind of Gemara, but he expands and intensifies the equation. Kashem or Kederech, Kach, how can you compare the relationship that a person is obligated to have with God, with relationship that he has with human beings, flesh and blood, even parents. But the Rambam repeats it in the next halakha, Hamekalel aviv o imo b'skila, hamegadif b'skila, hinei hishro son ba'onesh. Why is it that cursing and hitting a father and a mother, right, is something that incurs the death penalty? It's a capital crime, not just an abhorrent breach of etiquette. Why is that true? Because it's equated with cursing the Rabbonu Shel Olam himself. Megadev is a form of avodah zarah, cursing God's name. But Mekalel Aviv Imo is connected precisely to this. Later on, the Rambam speaks about how far one has to go when it comes to Kibud Avim. Afilu Notlo Kis Shel Zehuvim, even if your parent takes your wallet, meaning empties out your bank account, essentially. The Shlichu B'Fanav L'Yam. By the way, it says that one parent shouldn't do this, but if one does, one is supposed to take this with sufferance. Lo Yachlimeim, Lo Yitzar B'Fnehem, Lo Yichos Kenegdam. You have to take this with equanimity. Eliyakaber Gzeres HaKosu V'Yishtok. Very strange language that the Rambam uses. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah explicitly that this is the extent of the mitzvah. What do you mean, Yakabel Gzeres HaKosu V'Yishtok? And then later on he says, the Yira V'Yifchad Mimelech Malchei Amlachim Shetzivahu Bekach. And you have to fear God who commanded this. Where in the Torah does it say that the father or the mother has the right to empty out one's bank account? Meaning, because the Rambam felt that the obligation to honor parents is an extension of Kavod and Mora Hashem, God himself, that also expands the Adheichan, how far do we go with it. The Gemara in Kedushin itself talks about a certain case of a certain Tana, or Mora, I don't remember which, who when he heard his mother walking in the vicinity, used to jump up. He said, after all, I would do the same thing if the Shechina itself was present. Now, of course, the Halacha generally, and the Rambam even more so, were very careful to draw lines, to distinguish. People are people, and the Rabbonu Shel Olam, God, is transcendent. The Rambam's whole anti-anthropomorphic tendency, people shouldn't even use language, which implies, the humanization of the deity. All of these reflect that idea, the doctrine of negative theology and other things. And yet, when it comes to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, the Rambam appears to be blurring the lines. And there's a lot of evidence that this may be true. Let me highlight it in a few more ways. The Rambam, as I mentioned before, in Perakei Hilchos Talmud Torah, speaks about the obligation to respect and to revere a teacher. And the Rambam says this is derived from a parent, comes from the world of Kibud Av V'Em. At the same time, the Rambam says the Rebbe, the teacher, deserves even more respect in one sense. After all, the parents bring him l'chai olam hazeh, they bring him into this world. But the key to entering the next world, namely a meaningful spiritual life, for that you owe thanks to the Rebbe. And therefore, since he's Nevi'o L'chai Olam Haba, if there's actually a competition between a father and a Rebbe, right, when it comes to a lost Aveda or other manifestations of Kavod, the Rebbe gets priority. I should add, unless the father is also a Talmud Chacham, and even if he's less of a Talmud Chacham than the Rebbe, if he's a father and he's a Talmud Chacham, then he takes priority. These halachas themselves are very fascinating, and they show a certain dialectic which I think is very much connected to the idea that I'm developing, but I don't think I'll have time to get back to that. So it's food for thought. When the Rambam develops the idea of Kvod Rabbo and Mora Rabbo, he goes on to say that if you disagree with your Rebbe in an improper way, and that, of course, is a topic in its own right, how much independence and dependence in the relationship of Rebbe and Talmud, it's Ke'ilu Cholek Ala Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hamahara Racha Rabbo, The Rambam codifies these things in the fifth parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah and in Sefer HaMitzvos. In Sefer HaMitzvos, in fact, in Mitzvah Reish Tes, when he talks about the obligation to respect Talmidei Chachamim, and he elaborates this whole idea that arguing improperly with them is like taking on God himself, kivyachol. He says, after all, this is learned from the world of kibud av ve'em. Once again, the Rambam highlights his view that respecting parents who are yotzrim in one sense, they bring you into this world, and they are authority figures for you. They are the figure which, at least initially, right, is responsible for your development. There's a certain sense of faith and reliance on a parent, a certain dependence, at least initial stages. All of these reflect not only a parent-child relationship, but are, in a certain respect, an opening. They're a glimpse at what the relationship is supposed to be between God and man, at least the Jewish people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem, Avi Avi, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Shebashamayim. The very possibility of articulating and feeling or experiencing that kind of relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of his transcendence, to be able to relate to him in some way as a father, has its roots in the relationship of children to their parents. And in that respect, that relationship itself becomes an extension in both directions of the God-man relationship. And if that is true, then we certainly understand what it's doing in the Aseres HaDibros. We understand why it's Matan Schara Betzeda, it's its own reward. We certainly understand why the first thing we say after Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, is Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro, even before Shabbos, even before Avodah Zarah. These are in fact Gufei Torah, as Rashi explains in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Moreover, if this is true, then what better place than Hilchos Mamrim, which focuses on that sense of authority and Yira? What better place than that to develop the principles of Kibud Av Ve'em? If this is true, then we can understand many of the other substantive, unusual phenomena which appear to be issues when it comes to the problem of Kibud Av Ve'em. Let me just mention a couple of them, or two or three of them. I think I have only about 6 minutes left, so let me just mention one or two sample ones before we conclude. Rashi in Parshas Kedoshim, on Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro, Shamsosai Tishmoru, followed by, in other words, where there's this link in the same pasuk between the obligation to revere parents on the one hand and to observe Shabbos properly on the other, quotes the words of the Midrash Halacha, which are also recorded in Masechet Kedushin. What happens if a parent tells you, right, to be Mechal Shabbos? So one might be tempted, after all, Kibud Av Ve'em is so central. That's why we're being told, Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro, but qualified by Es Shabsosai Tishmoru. And the Gemara explains, right, Ata V'Hu Chayavim B'Kvodi. You're both obligated in my kavod. The Gemara in Yevamos, Avav, and the Gemara in Bamitzia discuss whether this issue doesn't depend on the general problem of ase do chalos ase. What happens if you have a clash between two halachic obligations? On the one hand, kibud av ve'em, and on the other hand, the observance of Shabbos. And the Gemara goes on to discuss whether or not it fits into this pattern or not. Is it two esen or an ase and a lav? Is it ase sheyesh bo kares? What exactly is it? In the end of the day, there remain questions which I can't go into right now. It seems to be implied that the regular din of ase do chalos ase is not operating fully when it comes to kibud av ve'em. It appears that in some respects we're more mekel, and in some respects we're more machmir. We treat kibud av ve'em as if it has greater prominence, which would leave us with some sort of an impression that maybe you could violate it to accomplish other, you could violate mitzvos or isurim in order to accomplish kibud av ve'em, even though in similar circumstances other mitzvos would not allow for that. And in some cases, exactly the opposite, where in other mitzvos we might justify violating, when it comes to kibud av ve'em, we don't. I'll give another example, and I'll try to tie them together. The Gemara talks about the problem of when you have a choice to make between the performance of two mitzvos. Let's say your father says, bring me a cup of tea, and the only way that that's going to happen is if you pass on another mitzvah which is urgently, you know, competing for your attention. So again, normally there are rules called osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. We're involved in one mitzvah, you don't have to stop and engage in another. And normally it doesn't matter whether it's something which is efshar lasos hayidei acherim or efshar lasos hayidei acherim, whether other people could step in for you in the other mitzvah or not. What really matters usually is, have you already begun to embark on the first mitzvah, in which case you're involved. You're not in neutral state. You're already, your spiritual your spiritual life has been already, you know, taken and called for, and therefore the principle of osek mitzvah and osek mitzvah patur mitzvah applies. If you look at this question of kibud av v'em in light of those general principles, according to some of the evidence, it appears that there's a discrepancy. It appears that in some cases we accord greater value to the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, and we allow, for example, we say that if someone else can take care of the mitzvah, if it's mitzvah shef shalasa sayyidei acherim, then you should really stop what you're doing and turn away from that. Instead, take up the challenge of kibud av. And there's evidence exactly in the opposite direction as well. That in some cases, even if normally when it comes to other mitzvahs, you would proceed with the mitzvah that you're involved in, when it comes to kibud av v'em, there's a special din of atah v'hu chayavim b'kvodi. And the question is why? Why should there be any difference between kibud av v'em and other mitzvos? Certainly, if there's going to be a difference, it should be in the direction that kibud av v'em is more significant, not less, because it's a mitzvah rabbah. As we've discussed, it's in the Aseres HaDibros, it's Matan Schara B'Tzeda, everything we've discussed. There are other fascinating phenomena about kibud av v'em as well. For example, we say that a son and a daughter have equal obligation. However, the daughter, if she's married, because she has obligations to her husband, right, the call of kibud av v'em is less urgent, less demanding. That's the halacha. The Gemara says it in Kiddushin. The Rambam codifies it in Hilchos Mamrim. The question is, how does that fit with regular mitzvos? It's not a pteronus. It's not that the person is incapable. Normally, there's a concept of chomesh, al yivazveis, yosu michom. There are limits, financial limits, in the cases of mitzvos. That's another anomaly. I mentioned before that if a father picks up or empties your bank account, you're supposed to take it with equanimity. Again, not something that should be done, but it comes under the rubric of kibud av v'em. There's a discussion in the Gemara whether kibud av v'em should be financed by the parent or by the child. The halacha says it should be financed by the parent. However, then the halacha goes on to say, however, if the parent is incapable, then the child has to spend practically whatever he has to fulfill the obligation. And the Mefarshim are very troubled, because the normal rules of performing a mitzvah sometimes have a financial limit. But certainly this idea that it comes from there, but if there isn't any there, you go here, is a very strange, a very unusual, unprecedented even, phenomenon. What I'm trying to say very briefly is that there are a whole series of details connected with the application of kibud av v'em that seem to defy the regular rule of how a clash between different obligations and so on is going to be executed. And the question is why? But according to our explanation, which is that the parent-child relationship is a paradigm and a model for the man-God relationship. It's the gateway for us having an avos-ubanim relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because that is true, we should expect that kibud av v'em is going to be treated differently than other mitzvos. Lekula and lechumra. In one respect, it's going to be more prominent, more pivotal. If you don't develop this relationship properly, then everything else falls apart. It's, after all, the gateway. It is the linchpin to having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the urgency of implementing and executing kibud av v'em is all the greater than other mitzvahs. At the same time, the idea that kibud av v'em would come at the expense of kvod shemayim and moras shemayim, that's absurd, because the whole foundation of kibud av v'em, as we've explained it, is precisely that it is the foundation for that relationship. So you can say, I'm going to neglect the Rabbono Shalom in order to technically, to do that would not only be improper because of the urgency of the other mitzvah, it would reveal a fundamental, fatal flaw in your approach to the mitzvah of kibud av v'em itself. When Chazal say, ata v'hu chayavim b'kvodi, what they're really saying is that for internal reasons, a kibud av v'em, which leads to chilul Shabbos, is not just a chilul Shabbos, which is improper. It's a violation of kibud av, it makes a mockery of what the real kibud av v'em is supposed to be about. And therefore, many of these anomalies, many of these unique features of kibud av v'em are in fact a function of, they result from, this high ambition, this idea of kibud av v'em, mora av v'em, being an expression of and a manifestation of kavod and mora shamay. Let me just conclude other themes as well, but let me conclude by saying the following. The Minchas Chinuch has a safek whether kibud av v'em is a mitzvah ben adam lamakom or ben adam lechaveru. In fact, it's both. It represents the greatest aspiration of both. Darshanim have often noted, I've heard my father speak about it many times, that a kibud av v'em is the transition in the Aseres HaDibros. It's not just the transition, it's the bridge between kavod hamakom and kavod ha'adam. In one sense, kibud av v'em really integrates three ideas. Bein Adam Lamakom, as we've discussed. Bein Adam, it's the ultimate expression, Akoras HaTov, everything else, Bein Adam L'chadero. But it's also Bein Adam L'atzmo. There's no mitzvah like kibud av v'em which changes so much as individuals grow and develop. From the dependence and the sense of pure authority and reliance of a child, right, to the maturing of a young boy who's trying to find his own way and his proper independence within guidelines, to someone who is fortunate enough to reach the stage where he has elderly parents, where he can play a role in their secure enjoyment, you know, of their golden years. There's no mitzvah like kibud av v'em that reflects one's own development and transitions over the years. It's Bein Adam Lamakom, Bein Adam Lechadero, and Bein Adam Leatzmo. And that too establishes its pivotal nature. A Yortzeit observance always expresses kibud av v'em. After all, it's not just kibud av v'em, but again this gateway between kibud av v'em and kvod shamayim. The Kaddish, repeated on the Yortzeit, focuses on Kedushas Hashem, particularly the shame, which is the vehicle. We don't know what the Ribbono Shel Olam's essence is. That's beyond our abilities as human being. What we can do is speak of his name and try to promote his name, Yehi Shemei Rabbam Mevarach. And in that sense, the Yortzeit of a parent, where the focus is on the role the parent had in the relationship of child and parent, which was critical to fostering an appreciation for and being the foundation for the relationship between man and God, is perfectly expressed by the saying of the Kaddish and the observing of a Yortzeit. But especially when the emphasis is on Tefillah and Talmud Torah. Because Tefillah and Talmud Torah themselves are the mechanisms which allow us to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, notwithstanding his transcendence, based on the principle of the Achdus Hamaskil V'Hamuskal. Baruch Sholem has given us the Torah just as he's given us our parents as models, as points in which we can meet and have a relationship with him. And in this sense, when a Yortzeit is observed by means of Tefillah, with the emphasis on Tefillah and Talmud Torah, as it is, I think, so impressively in this particular case, it truly is an aliyah to the neshama of the niftar, or in this case, of the niftarim. Because it reflects the continuing impact of the values that were imbibed from the very beginning all the way through. And in that sense, the departed parent really isn't departed, but his inspiration and his impact continues. Ultimate expression of the principle of kavod aviv v'imo, yira aviv v'imo, v'chayav, v'chayehem u'bemosa. Thank you.
very, very nice. Thank you very much for the beautiful shiur. We're going to take a 5-minute break. We'll take some chairs from the other side because I think there's so everybody can get a seat. My brother, the traffic was bad coming in from New York, so he has not done a mincha yet. So if there are 9 other people who haven't done a mincha, maybe we'll go in the small Beit Midrash and make a quick mincha minyan. And we'll start in 7-8 minutes with Rabbi Rosenzweig Sr. Speak on a more historical approach. Okay, thank you very much. There are refreshments, I believe, in the hall. And we'll start in a few minutes.